Hello and welcome to the Cardinal News of Virginia, a podcast from Cardinal News. We're a nonprofit independent newsroom serving Southwest and Southside Virginia at cardinalnews.org. I'm Lisa Rowan. The Cardinal podcast is sponsored by West Piedmont Regional Adult Education, helping to build skills and earn credentials for sustainable employment and self-sufficiency. Contact WPRAE.com. This week, we are joined by technology reporter Tad Dickens, who got a sneak peek at a new music venue in Roanoke. Tad, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
Tad, tell us about the Exchange Music Hall in Roanoke. Where is it, and what's the larger project that it's a part of?
The venue stands at Campbell Avenue and Jefferson Street, downtown Roanoke. And it's a 55,000 square foot century old former bank. It was called the First National Exchange Bank in its heyday. And it was abandoned around 2016, renovated just recently into a complex with a 27 room boutique hotel, also a Spanish restaurant called Suerte. And the Exchange Music Hall that has a capacity of up to 1,200. I say Suerte, and I always note that there are exclamation points at front and the back of the name, the upside down one and the right side up one. And it reads very festively. So that's not scheduled to open for a little while, which we can talk about in a few minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us a bit about the investors in this project. I understand John McBroom, I believe, is no stranger to the world of music and music venues. Tell us a little bit more about that.
That is correct. John McBroom is the CEO of Across the Way Productions, and that's the overarching company that puts on Floyd Fest every year. He was not the original guy from Floyd Fest, but he's been in since almost the beginning, investing and kind of being more and more involved, and to the point to where he is now the big guy, the head cheese, the honcho. And he's also a musician. He's really talented. Guitar player, bass player. He sings, he leads bands. And old school music heads around Roanoke will remember his band Red Weather that used to play around quite a bit. He teamed up with construction specialist, developer Lucas Thornton, J.P. Powell, who also a musician, plays with My Radio, but is a co-owner of Lucky and Fortunato. And the fourth person, hotelier Ashton Wilson, and those guys teamed up to develop the project. I like saying the word hotelier. It's almost as fun as Suerte.
Very fancy on this podcast today.
Quite fancy this afternoon, Lisa. Yes.
What does it take to build out a music venue like this? You know, there have been, you know, several restaurants that have opened in Roanoke recently. There are a couple of boutique hotels in the area. But from what I understand, this is like the first new music venue in a while. And it sounds a little bit trickier to open a music venue than it might to have one of these other like more traditional venues, such as a restaurant or a hotel.
Yeah, with restaurants, you don't necessarily have to make them sound good. Basically, you know, it's the former bank lobby. That's where the Exchange is. And it is and was a wide open space. So it wasn't logistically difficult to create a flow there, John had told me. But, you know, as we just said, it was a wide open space and not made to sound great. And in fact, very echoey back in the day. And the team with Crossway Productions, working with Soundstage, Reed Binion, the principal of Soundstage Company, basically did a lot of acoustic tiling, which includes banners that are draped across the ceiling. It kind of looks festive. And all that stuff is all around the place. You know, basically having been there for the NYE show, I feel like fair enough to say it sounds really good in there. It's a nice room. On top of that, Grace Potter headlined in the show. Her sound tech was a whiz, and the place sounded like they'd been in there for weeks, you know, fine tuning it. Very, very nice. And I don't know if this will be the case for every show that happens there, but it wasn't too loud. It was loud. You couldn't necessarily hear, you know, people two or three feet away from you speaking if they were speaking, but it was not ear damaging. It's like they got it figured out. And that's probably down more to Potter's sound tech, but the room itself soaked up a lot of, echoey kind of reverby stuff.
That's really impressive to hear that it sounded good on basically the first event at this new music venue, right? To have that sort of test case. Grace Potter played there on New Year's Eve and Tad got to be in the audience there. And one of the things that you noted in your article about visiting the Exchange on New Year's Eve was that there's carpet underneath you when you're watching the show. And that seems so unusual to me.
Yeah, it's not typical dance hall style. Also, though, according to McBroom, sound dampening crucial element there was the carpet. My thinking, it's going to soak up a lot of sound, but it's going to soak up a lot of beer, wine, and liquor as well. So I think the carpet cleaner will have a job.
That was my thought exactly, is can you take beverages in if it's a carpeted floor? But if they're thinking about the experience of being able to hear the performance the way it's intended, right? It sounds like a trade-off that their business is willing to make for that experience for patrons.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And, at some point they may decide they don't want the carpet in there, and we'll see what things are like then. But as far as New Year's Eve was concerned, things were not like all echoey, weird, like, sounds bouncing around and stuff. It felt good. And the carpet, I guess, if you want to like really get down and do some slide steps and stuff, you might want to put down a piece of wood or something. Possibly. Now, I didn't ask them this. Here's the unasked question. But maybe they have, some sort of overlay that they can place on top of the carpet for certain events. If you're having something where there's like a formal dance or whatever, you don't want to be tripping up in your heels or whatever. But I didn't ask that question. So here's a chapter and stuff Tad doesn't know, I guess.
That's all right. It's just something you'll have to look out for when you go to future concerts and just to see how things evolve over time.
Indeed.
Let's talk a little bit about this area in Roanoke and what it means for touring artists. How does the Exchange fit into the options here in terms of capacity? You said about 1,200 is the capacity for the venue. What kind of acts can we expect to see come through?
Well, let's compare it to some other ones that are in the area. You have Berglund Center, which is about a 10,000 capacity, and obviously lots of floor space, but it's not a dance hall. It's a multi-use coliseum concert venue. Jefferson Center, about 900, practically no floor space. Mostly seats that aren't removable. Five Points Music Sanctuary capacity, about 250, 300 in that neighborhood. A lot of open space for dancing and moving around. The Spot on Kirk, the same, but much smaller, maybe about 150. And then you've got Martin's downtown. The only actual restaurant and bar venue on this list. And you can probably fit 50 on their dance floor, packed in pretty good. So you're talking about a good amount of space in the Exchange for just standing and moving kind of concert style, smaller scale concerts, maybe smaller career-wise acts than you would see in Berglund Center, but larger than you might get in the other rooms that I've mentioned. And we have a good amount of live music options, really right off Interstate 81. So it's great for tour routing. So if you're looking for that kind of act, you're not going to have a hard time finding it because everybody's running up and down 81 at some point in their tour. So like I said, though, none of those spots is a 1,000 plus dance hall. And to be honest, though, I was thinking about Berglund Center and their exhibit hall could be used that way, but it is in no way acoustically designed. So it would probably sound really bad. And, I'm sure the folks over at Berglund Center have plenty to do with booking the Coliseum and the auditorium. Lest we forget, the Harvester Performance Center in Rocky Mount can hold about 500 standing. But, of course, that's about a half-hour drive from Roanoke. And, there are people who would like to come to a place right in town and check out some music. So while I say Rocky Mount's not too far away, I know because I live here now, but in fact, the Harvester I can walk to, but I can't walk to the Exchange. Now I'm at the opposite end of the equation. Yeah. You know, a year and a half ago at this time, I would have been able to walk back and forth to the Exchange. They built it a little bit late, and I'm not going to let them hear the end of that. John said at the time that we spoke a couple of weeks ago that the Exchange has not booked anyone new yet. They're talking to people, but they're waiting for Suerte to open. The hotel has maybe just a little bit left to do to be complete. So they want it all together before they start, you know, going in full on the music schedule. He sort of said, think in terms of Floyd Fest. Anybody can look up floydfest.com and see what they have there and get an idea of sort of music that's stylistically very diverse. You'll have bluegrass bands, you'll have rock bands, you'll have soul bands, you'll have Americana bands, a lot of different stuff. But nothing yet to speak of specifically. And that's also as of January 21st, aka today, when you and I are talking. So I thought that we could have a little thought experiment here on the podcast. John said that fair comparisons would be Washington, D.C.'s 930 Club and Asheville, North Carolina's The Orange Peel. And these are standing rooms with roughly the same size as the Exchange. So I took a look at both of the rooms' upcoming schedules on their websites and picked a few that are listed over the next 3 or 4 months. 930 over the next few months is hosting Umphrey's McGee, Margot Price, Jacob Banks, Sedan Archives, Peaches, Jesse Wells with S.G. Goodman, that's a double bill, Kamari, Cat Power, Gogo Bordello, Lotus, the Old 97s, and Russell County's own 49 Winchester. That's just a small listing there. Now, Margot Price has played at the Lyric Theater, and I want to say she might have played Floyd Fest one year, one that I missed. Jesse Wells, everybody kind of knows him. He's a sort of emerging topical folk singer. If there's a controversy in politics or geopolitics, he'll have a song about it tomorrow. S.G. Goodman, really talented singer-songwriter. Cat Power, Gogo Bordello. Gogo Bordello, I'm pretty sure it's been years. They played Floyd Fest. Looking at the Orange Peel schedule, Allie and AJ, Guar, Richmond's own, which, by the way, has a cover out of Pink Pony Club, which is, they guard it up. They guard it. It is recognizable, but it is definitely guarified. And Reverend Horton Heat, a couple of stand-up comics, including Joe List. The Wood Brothers, an interesting act, which I'll mention why that is in a couple of seconds here. Josh Ritter, Pete Yorn, Donna the Buffalo, Gary Newman, who did Cars way back in the days, The Hives, Robert Earl Keen, Old Crow Medicine Show, and Juvenile are just some of many, many people on their list. Old Crow Medicine Show has played Floyd Fest a bunch. The Wood Brothers have played Floyd Fest a couple of times. The Wood Brothers have also played Jefferson Center and the Harvester, and they played Rooster Walk too. So I'm curious, like the next time they come touring through this area, if there's going to be a little war as to where they land, because they have relationships with pretty much every venue around here that could book a band that can draw. They can draw 1,000. Donna the Buffalo, longtime Floyd Fest act. They haven't played there in a long time. I think I mentioned Old Crow many times, Floyd Fest act. You can go down both venues list, Orange Peel and 930, and see shows that go beyond what I mentioned. But Jesse Wells, Sedan Archives, and Guar are among the ones that are playing both of those venues. Now, I don't know if you can do that many shows in Roanoke. D.C., obviously, a major metropolitan area. The nation's capital. Asheville, close in size to us, but with a more arts-forward core, and has proven over the years that it will support that much music. The Orange Peel has been going for a couple of decades, as are a lot of venues in Asheville. So I could be wrong, and if anybody can make it work in Roanoke, it would be the folks running the Exchange. They are total pros. They've been at it for a long time. But we'll see what they book and how many come out. I don't even know if they want to book that much stuff. John was talking about using it as an event space for, you know, other groups, not necessarily always live music. So it could be booked for a lot of that kind of stuff and music as well. So it's a wide open question, but is very intriguing. I'm as curious as anybody to see what they wind up booking, but they're often very close to the vest on that stuff. And I can't get the scoop out of them just yet. Hopefully they'll let me know first when they book some new shows.
It's interesting to hear that,
please. Sam, John, let me know.
When you're booking, let Tad know, put him on the list. He'll pay for his ticket, but put him on the list, you know. The early notice club.
Well, actually, Cardinal News paid for my ticket.
There we go. That's great when you can get work to pay for your ticket. And that actually brings me to ask you. So, you know, you are our technology reporter here at Cardinal, and you don't often spend a lot of time checking out new music venues, but you are a musician yourself, and you have tons of experience as an arts and culture writer in Roanoke. So I'm curious what it's like to sort of pull out those skills from the back of your mind and use them on a story like profiling a new music venue in Roanoke.
Well, I always tell people how much I enjoy myself at a show without the burden of a notebook and a pen. You just soak it in, have more drinks than you ought to, Uber home or whatever, but you're not having to worry about going back and writing a review of it. I did that a million times and had a blast at it, but it's nice not to worry about it. It's also fun dipping back in for a show, especially when Grace Potter is singing. I don't know how familiar you are with her, but she is an absolute powerhouse vocalist with killer range and control and a really strong sense of showmanship. Her band was 100% pro, and Holy Roller, which is the opening act, has a ton of energy and promise. It's a young band. They're just out there. They've been playing Floyd Fest. They played Bristol Rhythm and Roots as well. They were a good opening band. A lot of people there at the show knew their words and knew their songs and were really with them. And there are a handful of catchy songs from Holy Roller, but Grace is just a phenomenal act who's been playing here forever. She played at Jefferson Center way, way back in the day. She's played multiple Floyd Fest. She's played Berglund Center. She played the theater over there, the auditorium. She also played a COVID era show outside on the parking lot. Solo. Well, it was her and a side musician playing, wow, switching back and forth between keys and guitar. Very fun. That was a fun show. But she's been around forever. Calls Roanoke, or at least for the purposes of performing in Roanoke, called Roanoke her second home. There's no telling how many other second homes she has. But as personable a performer as she is, I'm sure she has a lot. it's kind of old home week for me. I've known the Floyd Fest camp for decades, and it's great to catch up with them. Plus, a lot of folks in the crowd, friendly acquaintances and even friends from over the years. And I mean, it was a good night. Thanks for that question. It's fun to get back into it. I will always take a moment to say that I really love the challenge of what I'm doing. It kicks me in the backside every day, trying to, you know, get my mind around heavy technical and technological issues. So heavy, I can't even pronounce the word. How sad. How sad. But music is always at the center of my heart. You know, I grew up on it. I still play. And so getting a chance to cover music for as long as I did was a great living dream. But very happy now. And it's nice to get a chance to do this every now and then.
We'll have to see which of those musical acts comes up on your bingo card that you've sort of created for who's going to roll through Roanoke this year or next. It's interesting because sometimes we'll see, you know, our coworkers will take a vacation day and you ask them what they're doing and they're like, oh, I'm going to see a show in Charlottesville or Asheville or DC or, you know, Raleigh or Richmond. And so to think of having one more option where we might be able to see the live music that we're like itching to see when a tour is announced, right? And to see Roanoke on the list is really exciting. So I'll be looking forward to seeing who comes up on the schedule as well.
Me too. I think it's very likely that people won't have to travel for quite as many shows in Roanoke.
Yeah.
Or from Roanoke.
Well, Tad, if people want to talk to you about music or other parts of your role here at Cardinal, how can they get in touch with you?
It's so easy. Tad@cardinalnews.org.
And Tad's story on his trip to the Exchange for its New Year's Eve show, that story is live now, and you can see some photos as well on cardinalnews.org. And thank you all for listening to the Cardinal News of Virginia. Thanks to our sponsor, West Piedmont Regional Adult Education, to Sean Eddy of Eddy Alexander for production support, and to Cardinal News's very own Zach Shelton. Read all of our paywall-free local news coverage at cardinalnews.org. I'm Lisa Rowan. Take care now.